It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I've taught my players never to make excuses or point the finger when owning their actions. And I'm adhering to that same advice. I own up to my past conduct and accept fully the consequences of that conduct. I'm committed to learning from this and becoming a better person, father, husband, mentor, and coach. Thank you.
You're going to see, I think, a wake-up call for a lot of these programs across the country that listen to the comments of Coach Morgan Scali today, who was reinstated. I think that we were all – I wasn't surprised he was reinstated. We had heard for a while that the rumblings that that might be the case. But welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us today. The teleconference with Athletic Director Mark Harlan, Utah's head football coach Kyle Whittingham, and now reinstated defensive coordinator Morgan Scali, who takes a massive pay cut, more than half of what he was going to be earning this year as a new salary in his new long-term deal, has now been cut to $525,000 a year, as opposed to the $1.1 he was going to be getting. Plus, this is no longer a multi-year deal, Scott. This is a one-year deal.
This is the makeup time, right? They're basically saying, look, you know, you're not getting all that money. You don't deserve that. You've dis-earned that.
Right.
And that's hard because you go a long way to, you know, to build up to that. But they want to see, okay, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do moving forward? It's like, okay, great, you make an apology, but is your conduct, is the way you interact with people, is the way you coach, the way you're an example, the way you lead people, the way you deal with this issue, what are you going to do about it? You know, because they talked about him going to these diversity, within the university and understanding how to work with diverse cultures and races and all that stuff. And if you go in there with this attitude of like, oh, do I really have to be here? And I'm just doing this because it's just because I'm required to, and you're really not changing behavior and a mindset, then yeah, this could be a problem in the future. I think it's I think the problem is really complex, Alex. The solution to it, I don't think it's just, hey, let's listen to each other.
Let's have a couple of mandatory meetings on racial sensitivity.
No. Or don't say that word anymore.
Right.
Right? Because everyone's caught up in a word. And it's like, if we don't say that word, then we're not, you know, then we're not racist right. anymore.
But the reality is you haven't learned much.
The problem's much bigger than
right.
that. The thing I believe is people need to be authentic. They really need to be who they are. If Morgan Scali really wants to understand these people, he needs to be authentic to them. You know how it was is when you played sports and you had coaches that were real, or teachers or people, and they were authentic and they were real. Those were the ones you loved the most, because
you could sniff out the fake guys
in two
too.
Seconds.
Yeah.
Right. And I guarantee you, him talking like this from day one to those players, they're like, this guy is a fool. You know, he's not. I'm just telling you.
They'd roll their eyes, and I think a lot of times they wouldn't say anything or report anything because they just went. And this goes back to our conversation we had about winning being the most important thing. right. about people saying at whatever cost, if it's burying whatever a coach says, if it's you pretending like the coach didn't say that and just working through it. What are we reading from this last week? That one of Iowa's former running backs was treated terribly, and that there was, according to him, systematic racism at the University of Iowa playing in the football program for a couple of decades while the head coach has been there, and his kid, who was the offensive coordinator. And, I mean, the stories were sad. And then you sit there and you go, okay, what are we talking about here? So where did that start? How did that become okay? And why has nobody said anything now? I think now people start to feel comfortable when they go, and I probably should have said something, so that another kid doesn't suffer, so that another person doesn't hear this.
Think about when you were coached by someone.
But you put it down at the moment so you can just be like, shut up, I just want to go win.
No question about that.
Yeah.
But think about how that coach was. They were yelled at. They were, you know, they were berated.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. Or they don't really know how to coach. So they're just going to scream and yell at you and,
right.
and break
you down.
It's
like someone doing the same thing that their dad did to them.
Right.
You know,
it's that cycle of violence or that cycle of
sure.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it certainly plays into it. It certainly plays into this situation. To me, I think it's really a really simple but effective solution to gain someone's trust is Morgan Scally goes and says, how can I serve you? How can I just not be your coach, but how can I really how can I help you out in your
right.
life in a way? And that way, because I believe that's the fastest way to gain someone's trust. And it's not like, you know, all these apologies, all these things, but to just very, very humbly, very, very forthright, just go, how can I really get to know you? And who was really good at this? Lavelle Edwards. Lavelle Edwards was so good at getting to know people.
Really?
That's what made him great, is that he understood and he cared about them as individuals. He knew their names. He knew everything about them. And I'm sure Morgan Scally probably tries to do this. I'm not saying he doesn't. But if you really take the time to care about people, to know what's going on in their life, and not just say, oh, that's great, but to actually show up, you know, show up in the, they talked about Tom Landry and players who were injured and who no one cared about. And he shows up in the hospital because he's concerned, because that's what these leaders do, is they serve the people that they're leading. And I really believe that, I'm not going to say all great coaches, but a lot of them, and a lot of great leaders are all about serving the people that they're entrusted to lead.
At one point, the apology turned to the fans and to, you know, students at the University of Utah. I mean, it's been a rough year and a half, you know, for the University of Utah, considering the McCluskey case and now this. I mean, the administration at this school has gone through a lot, and the students have gone through a lot, you know, in terms of feeling safe or feeling like a place that's and try to convince people to come to the school, because the recruiting thing came up. I don't want to get into that right now, but what I do want to get into is how do you start that, or how do you get the fan base to go along with the fact that they, because the worst people that show up at the end of all this are the vocal dirtbag minority, you know, that comes out and goes, yeah, right, I think he was just telling the truth, you know, and you hear more racism start to come out,
yeah.
and, you know, that don't represent who the people are. And I guess we should try to ignore that. But at the same time, it's like you see so much divisiveness among a fan base or in people who are pointing and laughing at Utah and going, how are you going to deal with this? And now there's going to be a lot of backlash about trying to recruit guys to come to your school. Sitting down, and Coach Whittingham was quick to point out, hey, 51 out of the 57 guys that Morgan Scally has signed himself to come to the school have been minorities. And you go, well, we know that because he knows how to – and today they're signing guys. Minority guys are coming to the school today who have signed with the University of Utah. Why? Because they're not – I think they know there's not a culture of racism, but the other thing is they want to go to a place where they have an opportunity to really play at a high level. It's that winning at all costs type of a thought and an idea. I don't know what is going to come out of this long term. If this is just going to be another one of those press conferences that just go, thank you so much. We're looking to move forward on all this, and we look forward to football season, getting back into practice. Thank you so much. Thanks for being here today. See you later. You know, no more questions. And I think that it's a bigger problem than that. It's a bigger – because Morgan Scalley's not a problem. There are actual racists that surround all of these players that they have to deal with in the fan base. Maybe there's some of their teammates, things like that. And I just don't know how to go forward for the school. I mean, count yourself lucky at some of these other schools where this stuff hasn't come out yet. I mean, or you need it to come out, or I don't know. I don't know how you're supposed to address this as a coaching staff if you just pretend like it didn't happen.
Certainly there's an awareness to it, and I think actually having this COVID virus where everything slowed down, where there's a lot more time to discuss things like this and to really kind of delve into them and deal with it.
It's probably helped. Yeah.
It's probably helped because normally it would. You'd have this conversation and the pace of our life, it would just go away. And I think people are trying to say, look, this isn't going away. This is a real issue and we need to deal with it. And hopefully this is the start of being able to deal with it. Cause I don't know if it goes away or not, but hopefully maybe someone like Morgan Scalley can make it, turn this into a positive thing.
I'm certain that he's going to change a lot of how he operates now. Anyway, we're going to come back. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. We got more to go on the show. When we return, we've got other things to discuss today. Plus, we've got our two-minute drill coming up, so stay with us. Boy, we're into July already. What's that mean for getting back to practices, back to the NBA?
July is the start of sports in the world. Come on.
Yeah, here we are, getting back into
baseball, basketball, football.
Yeah, hopefully all of it starts back up again. Stay with us. More to go. It is KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby?
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.